This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
As Colleen and Greeley Tribb wrote over the weekend, the ongoing saga surrounding an animal enclosure on a property in unincorporated Weld County took another turn Saturday morning. This, as Weld County Animal Control and Colorado Department of Agriculture officials assisted the landowner in removing 9 dead animals from the F Street property. The property on the 5400 block of F Street was served with an order for livestock owner Helena Morley to, quote, assemble her herd for evaluative and diagnostic testing. Now, the property, and we talked about this, has gained substantial attention on a state and national scale, having drawn the eyes of, well, several groups petitioning for things to be done at this particular property, and even Colorado First Gentleman Marlon Rees, among other advocates for animal rights, joined this morning by Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams. Sheriff Reams, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Gil.
I appreciate your taking the time, all right? Now, I am not calling for animals to get voting rights, all right? So let's just put it out there. But I have to admit that based on what we saw, and of course you were drawn into this as well, the Weld County Sheriff's Department having been called out to the property several times, kind of hurt my heart a little bit because I believe in humane treatment of animals.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the property in question, you know, the address that we were responding to was, I think it was, quite frankly, it was disgusting by most standards that people would look at a property and say, hey, this is the way animals should be kept. But disgusting and emotional and all the things that it was, it wasn't necessarily illegal. And that's where we were having a lot of problems in dealing with this particular property owner.
Well, and you had, excuse me, any number of activists approaching the sheriff's department, pleading for the sheriff's department to do something. But there's a process that is in place, and I think you articulated it. Yeah, it was disgusting. It was emotional. It was reprehensible. But your hands were pretty much tied.
Yeah, so for a charge of animal cruelty, we have to be able to show that that a property owner is not feeding or watering or withholding sustenance from animals. And every time we would go out to deal with this property owner or this animal owner, you know, there was always food, there was always water. We knew that there were probably some underlying problems, but these animal activists that were out basically drawing attention to this property were ensuring that the property owner, the owner of these animals, she was feeding and watering her animals because she was trying to avoid any attention from these animal activists. Mm-hmm. So while they were trying to solve a problem, they were actually helping to make it harder for us to do our job and cite this person for you know, what we believe was probably cruelty towards the animals. Again, you know, sometimes too much of a good thing is too much. And these animal rights activists were actually enabling the animal owner, the property owner, to stay one step ahead of my animal control officers.
Well, and actually putting a hitch in the giddy up, so to speak, of the entire process. I mean, you got support from First Gentleman Marlon Rees. He had first posted about this on Facebook. Then he called for the state legislature to remedy what he called the largely non-existent laws protecting animals raised for food. But he went on to say, it's clear to me that the Weld County Sheriff explored multiple avenues for more thorough investigation, but our current laws won't allow the office to go any further in helping the animals that were enclosed within a pen with other animals that were dead and decaying. I mean, hanging up a severed leg on fencing outside of the facility, I mean, that's barbaric.
Yeah, I mean, to call the property disgusting is probably an under-evaluation of what we saw, what we witnessed. That being said, getting phone calls, emails, messages from all over the world, and when I say that, I mean that literally. I mean, we had people from the United Kingdom, Africa, South America, you name it. We had emails coming in from all over the place pressuring us to do something when, the law is pretty clear what we can and can't do. And I think we tested all boundaries of the law to try to figure out how to deal with this property owner. But in the end, it took the Department of Agriculture coming in and using a very, we'll say, non-traditional method to try to deal with this property owner to even get to where we're at right now. And at the end of all this, we still don't have a concrete resolution as to how we're going to deal with the animals that died on the property and the animals that are still on the property. I mean, this is, it's a tough situation, but the calls and the emails and all that stuff haven't made things easier for my department. They certainly haven't made things more advantageous for my department. They've made things extremely more difficult.
Well, and arguably, while I admire their passion, unfortunately, it hasn't necessarily made things better for the animals. Now, how has it?
Not really. I mean, these animals are going to be tested to see if they had the dead animals will be tested to see if there's a disease that's amongst the herd, if you will. And quite frankly, if there's a disease that can't be treated, the rest of the animals will probably be put down. And so, the outcome of this could be very tragic for all the animals involved. That being said, it is a matter of public health. It is a matter of public safety. And that's why the Department of Agriculture was brought in to take the measures that they did. Unfortunately, I don't think this story has a quote-unquote happy ending.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, it's probably going to get uglier before it gets better.
How would you characterize the owner of this facility, cooperative or combative?
It's kind of a mix between the two. I mean, it depends on which day you're talking with Helena as to how cooperative she is. We've had a considerable amount of cooperation at times, and then other times not so much. She was very receptive on yesterday morning's serve and seizure of her property. That being said, what will happen the next go around is untold.
7:15 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, joined this morning by Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams. Oh, and I should probably be a little bit more specific in referencing that severed leg that was hanging outside of the property on a fence. That was a severed animal leg, just to be clear on that. So, do you think at this point of time, now that more people hopefully understand the restrictions, imagine that, you have to work within the law, that you and your deputies are working within, hopefully some of this outcry will die down in terms of the onslaught of emails and phone calls from around the world because, there is the matter of crime throughout Weld County that you need to deal with as well.
Yeah, this particular call has been a resource drain for my agency, not just because of, the incident that's occurring at the property, but the inundation of phone calls and, like I said before, phone calls, emails, text messages, our social media accounts, and none of it, I shouldn't say none of it, most of it from people who have never even seen the property, viewed the property personally. They got on an activist account and started peppering our agency with with some kind of message demanding action for an incident that they're pretty much non-existent to. I mean, they don't know what's going on. They're reciting what someone else has told them, and mm-hmm. and terribly draining the resources of the sheriff's office.
Well, it's interesting because I had the chance to talk with Greeley Police Chief Mark Jones just about a week ago, and we were talking about, as we're seeing across the state, indeed across the nation, a spike in what he referred to as serious crime. And again, we're not undermining the treatment of animals, but we need to put those precious resources of your agency to the greater good. And I can't help but think that you're probably seen that same spike in crime, some of it very, very serious, throughout Weld County.
Yeah, generally, crime across Weld County is up about 32% during the times of COVID. If you spoke with Police Chief Jones, then you understand the crime in Greeley is gone up substantially. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you start encouraging people to wear masks and basically hide their identity, that, while that may be good for fighting COVID, it's terrible for fighting crime. And we're experiencing increases in crime across the county, across the state, and across the nation. And, you know, while I understand that an animal issue is impactful to some, it's that same amount of interest we're taking in fighting true crime that is occurring against humans inside of the city limits of Greeley and inside of Weld County. Man, we could make big pushes here in reducing our crime, but that same level of interest is just not there for people in most areas when it comes to, like I said, fighting crime and helping their fellow man.
Well, and as I discussed with Chief Jones, we were pretty targeted on car thefts and a spike in car thefts, not only in Greeley and Weld County, but indeed across the state. And as a result of some of the, sentencing guidelines that have been driven by COVID-19, well, let's just say, to borrow and George Orwell term, some crimes not as serious as others, which only continues to escalate those crimes, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, so car theft right now is it's so prevalent that my investigators really don't even know what to do with it. It's unprecedented. I think we're up by 152% across the state in car theft. And it's that simple thing. It's you know, when offenders know that there's really no consequences for their actions, well, they're willing to take the risk. And so, you know, if you're out warming up your car, if you step away for a second to scrape off your windshield, there's a good chance someone's driving in the seat jumping in the seat and taking off with your vehicle.
Right.
And if the consequences of their action is, you know, you're going to get a ticket, you might get violated from parole. Even if you do get convicted, you know, you're probably only going to do, you know, 30 to 90 days in jail. I mean, these are people that are hardened offenders. That's no deterrent whatsoever.
Absolutely. Because you need to remember that many of these offenders, they're not just taking the car for a joyride. No, they're using it to commit other crimes.
Yeah, you know, for a lack of better terms, we often call it, you know, tweaker Uber. So it's the guy who's high on meth or high on some kind of drugs that's going to steal your car to get to his next fix or get to his next location. And unfortunately, that's the reality of things. With drug use in Colorado being on an increase and car theft being on an increase, you can't help but draw the correlation between the two crimes.
Tweaker Uber, brilliant, but very, very sad. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams, thanks so much for taking the time. It's always good to catch up with you. And again, any tips for us in order to, minimize the chances of theft? Can't help but think that you've got a little something to say about puffers.
Yeah, stay with your car. You know, when you're warming your car up in the morning, don't go back in the house. Sit in your car, lock the doors, wait for your car to warm up, and do the thing that is a little inconvenient, you know, sitting in your car while it's warming up. is not necessarily a fun thing, but in Greeley and in Weld County, it's a necessary thing. And otherwise, your car may leave without you.
Never a good thing. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reins, thanks again for taking the time. Certainly do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
722 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, where the great musical comedy Church Basement Ladies takes center stage now through March 28th. Visit ColoradoCandlelight.com for tickets and show information. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, Broadway in your backyard.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Today's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310KFKA.com.
On your Monday morning, 1310KFKA.com. Don't forget, coming up at 8:05, we're going to dive headlong into that Terry Ranch project when we're joined by Greeley Water and Sewer Department Deputy Director Adam Jerkerst. And just remember, if you have any questions that you would like me to convey, pass along to Adam Jerkerst this morning, just give Ryan a call, 970-353-1310. Ryan Kelly at the board, behind the glass, and boy, pushing all the right buttons this morning, doing a great job as he always does. But again, if you have a question for Mr. Jerkerst when he joins us this morning at 8:05, just give Ryan a call. All right, markets starting the week lower, waiting again for comments from the Fed chairman. Oh, how I miss the portfolio. Is it up? Is it down? Where is Alan Greenspan when we need him? Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, weighs in. Not on Alan Greenspan, but what the markets are doing when he joins us at 7:35.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Markets starting the week lower. Well, they're waiting for comments from the Fed chairman. Now, wait a minute. This is second verse, same as the first. Isn't the less said, the better, Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management?
And we'll go to Boeing, too.
Oh, good.
In just a second, I'll tell you what that stock is doing, as I heard you doing that story this morning.
Terrifying.
Yikes.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just amazing and equally incredible. Like I've said, that pilot, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name. I'm not even sure it's been released publicly at this point in time. He was our Sully in the sky.
Yeah.
He was rock solid, even as he's going, air traffic control, hello, we got a Mayday situation here.
Well, and another thing you mentioned, though, with regard to that exact point, is that the extensive training program, which is headquartered right here in Colorado,
yes,
in the Denver
area,
with the simulators that are freaky real. Now, granted, he doesn't have 200 people on the airplane behind him, but they get to exactly simulate that very thing happening.
I mean, he was the epitome of grace under pressure, so calm as you listen to him say, we got to turn. We really got to turn here. Air traffic control gets back to him from DOA and DIA. Oh my. And says, which way do you want to turn? And he said left. That's because he had blown the right engine. He didn't do it. It's going to be months of investigation, but I heard it described as when that happens, it's kind of like having an anchor on that side of the plane that's just dragging you down. But, I mean, when you look at a mile-long debris field, okay, over Broomfield and, surrounding neighborhoods, it is incredible. This has a huge piece of debris smashed down on top of a truck, flattening a truck on the ground.
Yeah.
It is amazing that no one was hurt.
Okay, I'll tell you what Boeing stock is doing and more, a couple more points on this that deserve to be heard. Just a minute. Interest rates, in the meantime, in the spotlight to begin this week. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ finished lower last week, but not by much. The Dow was flat. The yield on the U.S. 10-year Treasury, however, finished at its highest since February of last year at 1.34%. And this morning, yield on the U.S. 10-year Treasury is up again at 1.37%. Now, why is this important? It's important because the U.S. 10-year Treasury is considered the benchmark, the bellwether of U.S. interest rates, signaling the direction for bond rates and, therefore, the cost of borrowing for U.S. companies. Now, okay, let's shift to what's going on today. Now that you know that, with 1 week left in February, the Dow and the S&P 500 are up 5% for the month. The NASDAQ is up 6.2%. But that rise in the borrowing rate for companies, that rise in the 10-year Treasury, has investors flashing a yellow light, taking cautionary stance. It has investors waiting for semi-annual testimony on the economy by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell before the Senate Banking Committee tomorrow. So we'll be watching the market's reaction leading up to that. We'll be reporting to you on it after that. That testimony, again, scheduled for tomorrow. So the markets this morning, the Dow Industrial Average down 150, 31,343. That's almost 0.5%. Same thing for the S&P 500, a little bit over 0.5%, down 21 at 3,885. And the NASDAQ down 156, just over 1% at 13,718. Again, that 10-year Treasury, 1.37. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, rising on pretty much the same thing, the thought that the U.S. economy and the world economy is going to pick up this summer as Americans are itching to get their lives back. So crude oil this morning, well over $60 a barrel at $60.60. This is the U.S. benchmark crude, West Texas Intermediate. That's up $1.36. Okay, Boeing stock down 6 points this morning. That's about 2.5% at $211.42. I've been watching it since the open. It's gone back and forth between down 5 and down 6. And yes, Boeing has 24 777s that will be out of service. Mm-hmm. Other airlines may have Boeing 77s that will be out of service as well. I should say United has 24 777s that will be out of service. Other airlines will be taking them out of service as well, while federal investigators look into what happened to that engine. And investigate it and find out what happened exactly and how to protect from that happening again. Now, it's just another day in the airline business. And once again, the training that pilots go through that Gail mentioned earlier is extensive. They were fully trained. They knew exactly what to do in this situation, and they did it. Now, separate that and cautionary stances from some people saying, "Oh, I don't know about Boeing. I don't want to own Boeing." Realize that we live on planet Earth with 7.5 billion people, and we depend on airlines. And the airplanes that are manufactured by these companies, and we're going to continue to depend on them even more in the future as the population grows and people become more affluent and travel. The industry is not going anywhere.
And the psychological barriers to travel eventually wane as well, you know, due to COVID-19.
Yeah, true. So there's an uptrend. A short-term uptrend in a long-term industry because of that. What is this? These things happen, and I'm not diminishing it.
No.
But you look at the major players in manufacturing passenger airlines around the world, and there are two of them, Boeing and Airbus.
Mm.
And that's why Boeing is one of 35 stocks that our company is recommending for long-term investors right now. Think long-term. And this will be handled with the long-term in mind. They'll find the answer, they'll make the public aware of it, and they'll take steps to prevent it from happening again in teamwork with federal investigators.
You know, I couldn't help but reflect. I know a lot of you didn't stick with the Daytona 500 after that almost six-hour weather delay. Missed a really good crash at the end. If that's the reason why you watch, be honest, fess up. Many of you do. But it's interesting because they actually have heart rate monitors on all of the drivers.
Yeah.
When they're racing.
Yeah.
And whenever there's a crash, and some of these crashes, there was one on lap 14, there was one on, what, the final lap?
The last lap, coming home.
Yeah, exactly. And what they do is they slow it all down, and you're watching the equivalent of, it's a demolition derby as these, you know, million-dollar cars are just careening into each other, and some are flying through the air. And they show the driver's heart rate before the accident, during the accident, and after the accident. And this goes to, there is a point here. And what's astounding to me is that their heart rates barely even tick up several notches. Couldn't help but wonder. I couldn't help but basically apply that same principle to that rock star of a pilot on this United flight on Saturday. And yes, they are perfectly trained, and the training, we hope, kicks in. It certainly did with this pilot. But I had to wonder, I mean, wouldn't that make your heart go pity-pat? I wish they had had that same technology, because I can't help but think, just listening to the sound and the tenor and the calm that was so evident in his voice as he made that mayday call back to the tower, I doubt, you know, it was kind of like, oh, this is happening. Now it's time to push it all down and do my job, which he did.
Yeah. And keep in mind, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think the pilots are pulled out of service and go back to training for things like this every year, don't they? Commercial pilots on these big airliners. And they go into those simulators, and so it's fresh. They know what to do. They've done it, if not dozens of times, they've done it hundreds of times. They know exactly what to do. What happened here could have been a lot worse.
Could have been catastrophic.
In so many different ways. But guess what? They trained for a lot of those things as well. And that's going to continue. It's not going anywhere. So it'll be curious to see what the investigations say. First thing I think, I mean, what happens when a bird flies into that engine?
It just popped into my head, which I know is a scary place, but that's what I was thinking. Could have been a bird strike.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm just guessing with this. I mean, we've heard of that happening many times. Mm-hmm. Is that engine built in a manner to where it simply shuts down if that happens? And once again, then the pilots will have been trained. They know exactly what to do in that situation. In this case, the engine blew. Now, they've been trained for that situation as well. But granted, the danger could have been, it was much worse than a bird in this situation, and it could have been much worse than that.
Well, thank heaven for this man's presence of mind and his calm and his ability to attend to the issue at hand, which he did.
And think about, you know, I mean, you live in the suburbs, you're sitting there reading the paper.
You're making a sandwich, and something comes crashing down through your ceiling, for heaven's sake.
Well, it didn't necessarily come crashing down through the ceiling, but it lands in your front yard.
Oh, no, this was another one, Keith. You got to remember the damage to homes. They still don't know the full extent of it. But no,
something
one guy
came through somebody's roof.
Yes, he was making a sandwich. And there's video from inside his house. It's like, huh? What happened? I mean, just incredible. I'm not making light. I'm not laughing, but I'm just so amazed that nobody on the plane, the passengers, the crew, those people on the ground, as you've got cowlings and these huge pieces of airplane debris just falling from the sky, nobody was hurt.
So you think about airliners flying over major metropolitan areas. Yeah. And the odds, you know, of things like this happening, but you put together when they find out the reason of what happened here. I mean, is to what degree do they go to prevent airliners from flying over major metropolitan areas, which brings to mind flying in and out of San Diego?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That would take up a week of talk shows. That's always a nail-biting experience, even on a good day, right?
Yes.
Well, you don't want your retirement years to be a nail-biting experience. Now, do you? No. You've got things on that bucket list, and you want to check all of them off. And, well, add to that bucket list as you approach those retirement years. You need a plan. You need a workable plan, a flexible plan, one that can master the art of the pivot so it can change to ever-changing market conditions. No one better to talk to than Keith Weinman of Presidential Wealth Management at his Loveland office. And all you have to do is pick up the blower and give Keith a call.
970-776-7500. Love to help answer any questions you may have.
All right, Elizabeth Ann, the cloned ferret. So cute, but a little creepy.
I don't find it creepy. Now,
makes me nervous.
The possibility of doing it with human beings.
I know, but they're talking about bringing back a woolly mammoth. Come on now.
Yeah, right. And I understand the Jurassic Park thing.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just say the outcome was less than ideal. Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management. Thanks so much. 748 now, 1310 KFKA.